2 Corinthians chapter 10. You want to put a title on the message this evening? I guess you could call it Heaven's Headlines. Heaven's Headlines. If you've listened at all to the news lately, or if you follow sports at all, you'll know that I think it's Aaron Judge hit a record 62 home runs, and I don't know if that's in one league or altogether in history of Major League Baseball, but 62 home runs he hit this year, and he was congratulated by the president, by the Clintons as well. That's how much history this made. Anyway, he seems like a decent individual, though. But that's making the headlines these days. 62 home runs, and that's a big accomplishment, obviously, for this world. Most people in the world don't even know that that happened. But that's making headlines here on this earth, Earth's headlines. And if you follow sports, people talk about the headlines that are made or the records that are made. But what are heaven's headlines? What are heaven's headlines? You know what? Life's success is not measured by man-made goalposts. We'll find out in this passage this evening that our glorying must be in the Lord if we're going to have any headlines to be made in heaven. 2 Corinthians 10, and we're going to read verses 12 through 18. 2 Corinthians 10, 12 through 18. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The Apostle Paul, obviously this is the 2 Corinthians. He's writing again to the Corinthian church, and he wrote other letters as well to them. But in this letter, 2 Corinthians often deals with defending his apostleship and that God was using him, that God's hand was upon his ministry. And numerous times he talks about what he went through in the ministry and God's call upon his ministry. But throughout his epistles, we find that although he did reflect upon what he went through as an apostle, the beatings, the stonings, the threatenings that he had to deal with, he always went back to that this was the grace of God that was in me, or I was an apostle of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. And he talked about how that what he did was only because of Christ. And we find out in this passage that our life must be lived for God's purpose. Our life must be lived for God's purpose. The only way there's going to be any glory is if we're living our life for God's purpose. And we find here in this passage that the Apostle Paul had lived God's purpose in getting the message of the gospel to the Corinthian church. He lived his life for God's purpose. We need to identify the purpose that God has for our life. If we want to live for God's purpose, then we need to identify what is God's purpose in my life. Paul had a God-given purpose. We see that in Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. And I'll read verses 7 and 8 of Ephesians 3. Whereof I was made a minister. Paul didn't make himself a minister, but he was made a minister. by God, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. He was made a minister. And we see, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Apostle Paul was commissioned to get the gospel to the Gentiles. That was his purpose that God had him here on this earth for, preaching the gospels to the Gentiles. And we know that Paul lived for that purpose. As it says, as we just read in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure as though we preached unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Paul fulfilled the will of God, the purpose of God, by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Corinthians. And yet he was dealing with a battle with people that were comparing themselves and lifting themselves up and trying to put down the apostle's ministry, Apostle Paul's ministry. But we see that, you know what, no matter, he could have gotten caught up in all that, but instead he lived for the purpose that God had brought him to this earth for. Question for you this evening is, what is the purpose that God has for your life? What is the purpose God has for your life? Can you identify the purpose that God has put you here for as a person? You know, success in fulfilling God's purpose for our life is not by comparing our lives to other. Success is not determined by comparing our life to others' lives. Paul did not compare himself to those who were lifting themselves up. Look at verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 10. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Paul said, I'm not dare going to compare myself to someone else. Maybe they're commending themselves, saying, look at what we've done. I am not going to compare myself to that person. Success is not determined by comparing ourselves to others. These people probably thought they were probably trying to be successful. So they were trying to compare themselves to the Apostle Paul. I don't know all their reasonings, but obviously they were doing it. But Apostle Paul said, we dare not do this. We dare not compare ourselves among ourselves. It's not wise. He says, it is not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. That can happen easily in our daily lives, where we, comparing ourselves among ourselves often comes, is rooted in the sin of jealousy, where we're jealous of someone else's accomplishments. We're jealous of someone else's gifts, and we wish that we could do something as good as they did, or we wish we could have the ministry that someone else has. I'm sure that was rooted in one of the reasons why these people were attacking the Apostle Paul, is because they were jealous of the ministry that God had given him. But that is not how we will be successful in life. That is not how we're going to accomplish God's purpose. And when people are, maybe you're on the opposite side. People come talking about your ministry and talking down what God has placed you in a position for. Don't let that bother you. The Apostle Paul, it could have bothered him, and I'm sure there may have been nights where he just wrestled through this with God and said, God, why are these people attacking me? But you know what? He came to the conclusion that these people are foolish. They're comparing themselves among themselves, and he decided to rise above. And he's trying to tell the Corinthian church, you know what? Rise above that. Do not compare yourselves with one another. You know, the ministries that God has given us, we need to seek to lift up that ministry. We need to seek to help others along in the ministries that God has given them and be an asset to people that God is using in different ways, and praise the Lord for the blessing upon their ministry. But Paul did not see success by comparing himself to those around him. Our life must be lived according to the measure God has for us. You know what? Other people might have certain ideas for your life or for your ministry. You know, we need to look at to God at what His goals are for our life. His goals for parenting, His goals for being a son or a daughter, His goals for being a church member, His goals for being a worker, His goals for, you name it, in life, for being a soul winner. We need to see what God's goals are for our life. And our life must be lived according to God's goals. Apostle Paul talks about that in verses 13 and 14. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. So God's measure, so he's saying, hey, apply to your life God's measure upon your life. All right, if God wants you to, if God wants this to be, then that's what he wants it to be. No, a yardstick isn't 35 inches, it's not 37 inches, it's 36 inches. And God wants you to do something, well, do what he wants you to do. And the Apostle Paul is saying, you know what, when we brought the gospel to you, we weren't going beyond what God had wanted us to do. This is exactly what he wanted us to do, to bring the gospel to the Corinthians. And in our life, when we are saying, you know what, evaluating our life, let's look at God's measuring stick. Say, God, is this what you want? As a child, son or daughter, honoring your father and mother. Don't compare yourself to the neighbor kid or maybe the kid sitting behind you, but compare yourself to what God's standard is. Am I truly honoring my father? Am I truly honoring my mother? You know, you can always find someone else that probably isn't doing as good of a job as you are and make yourself feel pretty good. Wow, you know, I'm a lot better than that kid over there. You know what? In your life, don't look at others, but look at what God says about honoring your father and your mother and see what he has to say. When we compare ourselves among ourselves or among other people, we're going to always shorten the stick, probably, to set the standard in the place that we want it to be. Paul wasn't going to rest in the fact, though, that we find out here in the passage, Paul wasn't going to rest in the fact that Corinth now had the gospel. They had a gospel-preaching church. All right, we settled it. We finished God's task. He wanted us to go to preach the gospel to the Corinthians. Was that where he ended? No. He knew that there had to be continual progress forward. You know, in our Christian life, we have to see continual victories. One victory can't suffice us. One victory can't leave us satisfied. But what was Paul's burden? Let's see what it says. For we, in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 10, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Apostle Paul here, we've come to you in preaching the gospel of Christ, but you know what? We're not going to stop there. We want to get the gospel to the regions beyond you. We want to continue to press on and see the gospel reach the end of the world. That was Paul's purpose. That was Paul's heart. That was his desire. You see that throughout his epistles. And he expected the Corinthian church to be a part of that. I want to see you partner with me in sending me to the regions beyond you. That was Paul's heart. You know what? Paul's purpose and plan wasn't just to go himself beyond, but it was for God's people to partner with him to get the gospel to the regions beyond. And as a leader, he saw the importance of bringing the people of God and leading them forward. You know, that needs to be our desire, that the will of God isn't just about me and what God has for me. It's about leading others forward, seeing others go on forward in the work of God. Paul's burden didn't stop when he saw a victory in one place. That was not the measuring stick God had for him. nor is it the measuring stick that God has for each of us. Once we see a victory, let's stop. Let's take a siesta. No, we must continue forward to those who haven't heard. Or maybe we see a victory in a certain area of our life. It's not time to sit back and relax. And that verse also applies to victory. It says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to those things which are before. Not only do we, you might have past failures. If you rest on those, you're going to fail. But you know what? If you rest on the past victories, you're also going to fail. We must press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Our success in carrying out God's purpose, we learn from this passage, is by continuing forward and not resting. The Apostle Paul did not rest, but he sought to continue forward. Our purpose and plan needs to be focused on what God has for our life. Whatever God's purpose and plan is, that needs to be our heartbeat. Paul's heartbeat was obviously to get the gospel to those who hadn't heard, to the ends of the world, to fulfill the Great Commission. And our success that we see won't be success if we rest. And if we just decide not, well, no, we're not going to keep going forward in our Christian life. We're going to just relax and take a break. We must continue to go forward. We must continue to focus on the plan and purpose God has for us. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18 says, we're not just supposed to be stagnant in our Christian life. We ought to be growing. Grow in grace. Are you growing in grace tonight? Are you experiencing God's power on a daily basis? That's what grace is. That's what God's grace is. It's his power. Are you experiencing God's enablement on a daily basis? Do you start your day off with prayer and Bible reading? Are you reveling in God's gift of salvation to us unworthy people? It says grow in grace. Grow in that dependence upon God. Are you growing in dependence upon God? And then it says grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, this is where it all starts. We're not going to be able to see the purpose and plan for our life accomplished if we're not growing in grace, and if we're not growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Do you look forward to that time in God's Word in the morning where you can find truths out about God? You can grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm sure many of us have experienced those times where we get into God's Word and we're just amazed at the truth about God, his greatness, his power. Is that something you look forward to, learning about God? Learning about Jesus Christ, realizing that he wants to use us in his purpose and plan, that ought to be what we're growing in that knowledge of Jesus Christ. Daily, we need to reflect on what he has done for us. Daily, reflect, what has God done for me today? You know, as you leave for work in the morning, think about what God has done for you. You're breathing, you're living. Just glory in the beauty of God's creation. Daily reflect on the knowledge of who Jesus is. And let the knowledge of who Jesus is guide your daily decisions. You know what? The knowledge of Jesus, who Jesus is, can help you so much throughout the day. You realize, you know what? I shouldn't make this decision. Because that's not who Jesus is. He wouldn't want me to make those decisions to please self or to choose sin. Or to live for myself. You know, in the mornings, a lot of times we're focused on ourselves, getting ready in the morning. You know what happens when other people come into our lives? Do we keep a Christ-like spirit even in the morning? Or do we allow a grumpy spirit to take control? We ought to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we can give glory to him. You know what, if we're typically grumpy in the morning and we are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and we respond in the right way, Well, no, that's from the Lord. And that's something that you can praise the Lord for. Revel in his grace to you. Daily be transformed by the renewing of your mind in the Word of God. We need to be growing in that every single day. All of us, every one of us, need to be growing in our knowledge of him and renewing our mind in the Word of God. When's the last time you read your Bible and you truly sought the Word of God and said, God, teach me through your Word? Has it been a day? Has it been a week? Has it been longer than that? I hope not. But we cannot just let that Word of God flee from our mind. We must daily be grounded in the Word of God. Now, our success in carrying out God's purpose is by continuing forward and not resting. Continuing on in the purpose and plan that God has for us. Daily growing in grace. Experiencing his power and growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, growing in grace takes faith. It takes stepping out in faith and trusting God, maybe for victory in your personal life. Stepping out and trusting God's grace to witness to your coworker, or to be humble and say, you know what? I've been wrong. And ask someone for apology. Saying sorry to someone. You know what? That takes God's grace. That's not something that just comes naturally. You know, it could be something simple you did. But you know what? If you did it towards someone else, guess what we need to do? We need to go and ask that person for forgiveness. And that takes God's grace. That is growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We'll never see God's will and plan accomplished for our life if we let those little things control us instead of let God's grace controlling us. If there's something between you and another brother or sister, we need to get that taken care of so we can grow in grace. Our life needs to be lived for God's purpose, we find from this passage. Paul lived for God's purpose. Paul also saw that success wasn't by comparing yourself to someone else. It's not by jealousy. But we must continue forward on. Our success is carrying out God's purpose and always continually going forward. In the end of the passage here, it says in verses 17 and 18, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. Our glory needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we're going to see true success. Is what we're doing from God, or is it from our own strength? From ourselves? Are we relying upon ourselves, or are we glorying what God is doing? The only way we're going to be able to glory in the Lord is if we're walking by faith. We're stepping out in faith, making those hard decisions, trusting the Lord, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, not content with one victory, but trusting God for greater victories in our life. Our glory must be in the Lord. In order for the glory to be from the Lord or in the Lord, is if we're walking with him. Our success is determined by the Lord, by his measuring stick. Our success is not determined by showing to others all of our accomplishments. You know, these people here in Corinthians that Paul was referencing, they were lifting up themselves and saying, look at our accomplishments. That's not how we're going to be successful. In eternity, that bubble will be popped. And all that we'll be left with is what we have done for Jesus Christ. Our success, as we see in verse 18, is determined by the Lord who commends us. You know what Paul said? That he wanted to hear, well done. I mean, that's what he said. He fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I hope we can say that. Will the Lord say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant? The things you're doing right now, what is your motivation for doing them? Is it for the Lord? Or is it for the praise of men? So you can look good in the eyes of men. We only ought to be doing what we're doing for the glory of the Lord. And may I ask you, in closing, are you living for the purpose God has for your life? No, we touched on a few of the purposes and plans that God has for us, but we find those purposes and plans in God's Word. As an individual in your role, are you fulfilling that purpose and plan that God has for you? Maybe it's to lead a family in faith, going forward in faith unwaveringly. Maybe it's a young man who God has called to serve him with their life. Are you fulfilling that purpose and plan God has for you? That only comes when you're daily walking with him. In each of the different roles that God has given us, we need to make sure that we are growing in grace. Otherwise, we will fail miserably at those goals. So I start off the message by saying, you could call it heaven's headlines. You know what? Heaven's headlines are the victories that God enables us to see accomplished. You know, any victories that we see in our life isn't because of what we've done. For instance, Veterans Dinner coming up. You know what? I'm sure we could put on a dinner, a meal, something for the people. But you know what? If we really want to see that blessed by God, we're going to have to see God work. We're going to have to trust God. You know what? If it's done in our own strength, it's going to be a fruitless effort. We must have God's touch upon it. You know, when you come here to the church service, when you sing in church, are you engaged in the worship? Are you fulfilling God's plan and purpose for you here as a church member? You know, often we can come and just get used to singing a hymn. Are you truly engaged in the worship? We need to be engaged in the worship of the Lord. You know what, I believe that can make heaven's headlines if each believer individually here, Mequonago Baptist Church, is worshiping God on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. When all of God's believers are tuned in to the Holy Spirit of God, that morning they woke up, they took time to spend time with God. Imagine what God looks down, he sees what's happening. And you know what? Heaven is moved when God's people are in concert with him, are worshiping him. God sees that. You know what? It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's only by God's spirit that we are going to see a great work accomplished right here. You know what? It could be a personal victory in your own life. That's what's going to make heaven's headlines that day. Glory be to God, victory in this area by God's grace. You know what? It could be a soul that is saved that makes heaven's headlines. It could be a believer growing in the Lord. It could be big. It could seem small. But you know, when God is glorified, you could consider that a heaven's headline. You know, all the things that go on in the daily life here are a lot of things are temporal. They don't really count for eternity. But when you are living for the purpose and plan that God has for you, you are making an impact upon eternity. You are bringing glory to Jesus Christ. We obviously I've mentioned numerous times, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. That's where we start. Start with the basics. Growing in grace. Experiencing God's power on a daily basis, his enablement to live life, growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, being in God's Word, and growing in the knowledge of him. Do you talk about that with your children, parents? Jesus Christ, and how great God is. Do you talk about it with your coworkers? How great God is, who God is. You know what? We need to be sharing with others what God is teaching us. How is your patience with others? Are you growing in your patience? Are you growing in your love with others? I don't know exactly what area of growth God might want you to be growing in, but we need to be seeking the Lord for that area of our life that we need to be growing in. As Christians, are we loving one another? Or are we just satisfied? Or are we not, or are we justifying, maybe not showing love to someone else because of something they did to you? Or because how others treat us? Or based upon your past life experiences? Are you saying, you know, I don't really need to love others because this happened to me at some point in life? Are we getting caught up in comparing ourselves to one another? You know, jealousy can create a lot of turmoil in someone's life, a lot of bitterness. But finally, something we all have been commissioned to do by Jesus Christ. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Brother, sister, how are you doing tonight in your soul winning, in your daily soul winning? Andrew Murray said, there's two types of Christians. There's either soul winners or backsliders. I know there's not an exact verse in the Bible that says that, but no, I believe that's a pretty accurate statement. There's either backsliders or soul winners. What are you tonight? Are you a soul winner or are you a backslider? We have a great opportunity on Monday nights to be growing in grace, experiencing God's power by being at soul winning. Men, young men, you have a great opportunity to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by coming to men's prayer meeting on Saturday night. That might be a decision that God wants one of us to make tonight. Being at men's prayer meeting, how do we expect to go forward if we're not praying, a praying church, if men aren't leading out in that? Grow in grace. How are you in your soul winning, though, tonight? Are you daily soul winning? This is something that we have to refresh our minds daily with. Because, you know, it can be very, very easy to become complacent. It can be very easy to become complacent with the people that we work with, maybe on a daily basis. I drive 50 elementary kids to and from school every day. I can be tempted to get frustrated with them for their crazy behavior at times, or I can be burdened for them and pray for them. I don't know who you work with. Maybe you work with the same people every day. Are you burdened for their souls? Are you burdened for your coworkers' souls? You know what? It's important to, I've realized this, especially in the last couple years. I work with a lot of elderly people, especially bus driving. Some are my age, but a lot of them are older than me. You know, just in the last, within like a couple months of each other, I had two coworkers that passed away. And you know what? I think each of those people I did have an opportunity to share the gospel with. But you know, we don't know when someone's going to take their last breath. We don't know when that's going to happen. It could be our neighbor. We don't know when someone might get in a car accident and perish. We need to be burdened for souls. Are you burdened to go and to the regions beyond? You know, maybe God is calling you to be a missionary. Are you going to surrender to that tonight? You know, and if you don't, and that's what God wants you to do, God won't be able to commend you. He won't be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Are you willing to make heaven's headlines, or do you want to make earth's headlines? You know, there's plenty of ways to make earth's headlines, but the only way to make heaven's headlines is if we're willing to be that surrendered vessel. We give ourselves to God, and we make our glorying in the Lord. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Tonight, as we leave from here and we go out, ask yourself, ask God, God, I want my life to bring glory to you. I don't want my life to be known by making an impact in a worldly way, but I want my life to make an eternal impact. Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. Strive for that statement from the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Lord, help us tonight to daily grow in grace and in the knowledge of you. Help us to give up living for ourselves, Lord, and fully surrender ourselves to live for you. Lord, there's, I'm sure, probably a decision that you want each of us to make this evening. I pray, Lord, by your grace, that we would make that decision, that we would trust you and your grace to help us keep that decision for your honor and glory. Lord, help us not to glory in the things of this world, but help us to glory in you. And Lord, whatever we do in our daily life, when we see a victory, help us not to take praise for that, but help us to give glory to you. Whatever good that we do have comes from you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do with McQuonigal Baptist Church, with each of us. We just ask that you'd use us as your servants. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.